Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Fabulous. Let me pray. Jesus, as we come around your word, open our ears to hear what you're saying to us, Lord. Together as a church, individually, give us ways to follow you. And I thank you for your word. I thank you that in the preaching of your word, there's great life. Just open our spirit right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever had a dream that's taken longer to fulfill than you would like? Nobody. Well, for the handful of people in the room, this is for you. For anyone who's felt like this is taking so long to come to pass, this message is for you. For all those people who get instantaneous prayers and everything sorted within the first year or so, you can leave. Or come and preach. But as my experience, as I read through the scriptures, the greats in the Bible, it takes ages. Ages. I mean, Abraham, how long did it take for him to have a child? You look at every hero that we look at in the Bible. How long did it take for the promises of God to come to pass? And that's curiously comforting. So today, as we look at standing tall and taking courage, this is the courage not to give in. This is the courage to keep going for the long haul. There's no prizes for checking out early. It's the Dunstalls who decades sow in and give, and then God opens doors of all kinds of things. It's the families in this church and those who've come before who just continue to believe and believe and believe. And God, I love this. I love this scripture. So come with me to, we're talking about Moses. Come with me actually to Acts. We're going to start. There's a story that a guy called Stephen tells in Acts, and it basically recaps the Old Testament. It's a really good place to start if you want an overview of the Old Testament, a speech that Stephen gives in Acts 7. We're going to look at how Moses dealt with this whole problem of how to deal with the length of time, and God gives him the courage to go the distance. So in Acts 7, verse 20, here's the background of Moses. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. He was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. You might know the story way, way back when God's people were slaves in Egypt. They were getting very successful, very prosperous. And so the Pharaoh of that time says, hey, hang on, we're just going to have to get rid of these kids. So any newborn male is going to be drowned. But this boy, Moses, was beautiful. And you might know the story how he was hidden in a reed of baskets and just floated down the river. And this little baby was opened on the other side of the river by Pharaoh's household. This girl took him in as her own son, fed him. It's an amazing story of rescue. But then Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. He was a Jew by birth, but he grew up in all the privileges of Egypt. In verse 22, it says, he was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. Look at that. It's actually for 40 years Moses grows up as one of the finest rulers and leaders in the whole of Egypt, even though he's a Jew. Mighty in words and deeds. We'll come back to that in a minute. But Moses has a dream because he knows he's not of the Egyptians. He knows he's actually a Jew living in there. And he looks at his people going, wow, my people are stuck. My people are slaves. My people are disconnected from their destiny. And so the first thing we see, I'm looking at four areas that Moses finds courage in. Four ways that he keeps going. He keeps that dream alive. And the first one is that he has the courage to wait well. It's the courage to wait. Let's pick up the story. So when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. He goes, maybe I should just go and visit them and see what's happening. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. So the story might be he was walking along and he sees one of his family members, a slave, mistreated by the Egyptians. Raises up inside, hey, that's not right. These are my people. How dare you? And he actually strikes and kills the Egyptian who's causing harm to one of his people. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving him salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. Moses supposes, maybe it's time. I'm the man. I've got a dream inside. I've got a God-given call to rescue my people. Maybe it's time. Let's go. Have you ever done that? You've got a dream. You've got a passion. You've got a call from God. And one day you wake up and go, yeah, all right, let's do it. It's about self-importance, isn't it? It's about rising up and doing it on your own terms, because it all goes south for Moses. Verse 27 says, the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside and says, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And at this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became a father to two sons. And now when 40 years had passed, let's just stop there for a second. It's just kind of little brackets. By the way, when 40 years had passed, 40 years, I'm not even 40 myself. Yes, I am. 40? I mean, this guy's 40 when he reckons that it's time to go and take action. He messes it up because he's trying to do it in his own strength. The guy says, if you go, 40, how old is he now? He's 80. 40 years of holding him. 40 years of not being able to fulfill his call. And where is he? He's in the desert feeding sheep. He's got a couple of kids. But you can tell inside it hasn't happened like he wanted it to happen. He hasn't fulfilled the call of God inside of him. He's just waiting. How do you sustain that sense of waiting? When 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight, and as he drew, there came the voice of the Lord. 40 years later, God starts speaking. He says, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abram and of Isaac and of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. And the Lord said to him, take off your sandals from your feet, because the place you're standing is holy ground. God says, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. Now come. See, there's a now on this moment. It didn't happen before. It was Moses' idea. Maybe it's time. Maybe I go and 40 years later. Now is time. How often do we get timing wrong? We think, all right, yeah, let's go, let's go, let's go. This particularly young man of 40, 80 years old, now. You see, he's waited well. He's been patient. He's in the desert. God has done lots of things in his heart, and now come. I'll send you to Egypt. Verse 35, this Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and judge? This man sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, performing signs and wonders in Egypt and at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. You getting this? Another 40. How old is he now? It's 120. He's older than me. Careful. 120 years before he fulfilled the call of God in his life to release his people. Like, that's crazy. He got them through the desert. You probably know the story. He threw the Red Sea. But then it was still 40 years before he brought them to the promised land. And even then, he didn't actually get to go in. It's like, hand them over to Joshua. Your turn. It's phenomenal. What long-term promise in you? What long-term thing that you felt decades ago? Oh, I wish that could happen. I wish that. And it's a God-filled dream, but it's taken so long to fulfill. Just wait. It's the courage to wait well. That's why so many of the Psalms are filled with, I will wait on the Lord. He renews my strength. I will wait. Learning to wait well. Learning to pass the years, the decades for God to fulfill the things that he's got on your heart. Wait well. It's a beautiful example of that. Stand tall. Wait well. Have you tried and failed something because the timing's not right? Pull back. Hang out in the desert for a bit. Just wait. Just wait. God has not finished. He's just organizing things. He's orchestrating. He's got all the time in the world. He's often early, but never wait. Never late. I think I know a song. I think the biggest challenge with us is that we feel guilty because we haven't somehow fulfilled the call of God in our life. And so we feel bad. It's been my experience. It's like, God, you've called me to do this. It hasn't happened yet. What have I done wrong? Ever felt that? I feel like I should be doing this, and I got this call of God, and I've tried, but it failed, and I'm an idiot. Waiting well means putting aside a sense of self. Just focus on Jesus. What's he doing? He doesn't judge us and condemn us. Very often he's orchestrating things. Very often he knows the big scheme. He knows the big picture. He's just maneuvering things so that they're ready. And when it happens, we go, ah, I'm so glad that didn't happen then. Now I see it. Sometimes we never fully understand it. Sometimes we're waiting and waiting and waiting and it never happens. And we're going to get to heaven and go, Lord, what was that about? Why? I had these dreams and things. And we don't know, but we've got to trust and wait. So learn to wait well is the first lesson of Moses. That gives you courage. The second courage is courage in imperfection. Now, we think that God is always about our perfection. But he can actually work with our imperfection. Isn't that good news? It's good news for me. Constantly come up against my own imperfection, my own inabilities, my own lack. Moses. Finally, Moses gets to speak, and God tells him to go, but he's got a problem. In Exodus 4:10, Moses said to the Lord, I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. He had some kind of speech impediment. Maybe it was a stutter, a lisp, maybe just the words didn't flow well from his mouth. Now God is telling him, you're my mouthpiece. He's going, Lord, haven't you... isn't it obvious, Lord, that you got the wrong guy? Like, don't you want somebody who's eloquent and sharp and every time I open my mouth? Isn't it funny how the Lord gives us desires in our inabilities? The things that we can't, where I'm weak and I'm strong. We looked at Paul last week. That somehow, even in the things that we feel like we can't, they're the very things God calls us into so that he can demonstrate his power through our weakness. Don't be afraid when God calls you to do things that you go, No, God, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong girl. I can't. And he has this kind of argument. It's a great story. Read it later, Exodus 4. They reach a compromise, God and Moses. All right, we'll send Aaron, the son, the brother, and he can be the mouthpiece. But the thing with Moses, he still did it. We've got Aaron working alongside and everything, but he still did it. He finally agreed to it. He did it afraid. He went along with it. And he ended up, actually, I love this, he ended up being able to speak really well. If you look at the very first verse of the very first chapter of Deuteronomy, like a book that's 28 chapters, Deuteronomy is a speech that Moses gives to the whole of Israel before they cross over. And it says right at the start, it says, these are the words that Moses spoke. Deuteronomy. He just rattles off Deuteronomy, some great big speech. He clearly got it. He clearly was able to speak. But God gave him supernatural ability to speak. So do it afraid. What excuses have you been bringing before God? What limitations, what human weakness do you say, God, I can't do that because of this? Just allow God to touch that and you will find. It could be what kind of barriers. It could be life stage. I got kids. I don't have kids. I'm married. I'm not married. I got a job. I don't have a job. What is it that's stopping you? I can't think. I can't play the instrument. I can't do this. We got to stand tall in our imperfection. If God's called us to do something, he will provide us with the ability to do it, no matter how we feel about it. And watch him as we just gently step out in faith. Watch him equip us to do the things that he's called us to do. Isn't that good news? So do it afraid. Take courage in imperfection. The third thing I see in Moses' story is courage through communion. Now, we're going to have communion at the end of this service, but it's a different kind of communion that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a communion with God. Moses found something between himself and God, a communion, an intercourse, a rich connection that was incredible. Let me read you from Exodus 33. It says, now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. So as they traveled around the wilderness 40 years, everybody else would kind of camp in the campground. But Moses, he'd grab his tent and go outside. He'd go away and he'd call it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went to the tent, all the people would rise up and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he'd gone into the tent. It'd be like watching TV, I reckon. Hey, quick, Moses is going to the tent. Let's watch. Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. What comes? When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak to Moses. I mean, can you imagine being in that sort of, all right, here, ready? Here comes Moses. Like the pillar of God would go outside the tent, and God would speak to Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship each at his tent door. Thus, here's the point, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses turned again to the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. There's a whole other story there of Joshua. But Moses would speak to God face to face. Pre-Jesus, right? Pre-incarnation, all that. Moses found something in his tent. He was able to communicate to God face to face. Where's your tent? Have you got a tent? See, Jesus has come. There were heaps of barriers as to why Moses shouldn't be able to do that back then, but not anymore. Jesus has taken away the curtain that separates us from God. He's taken away the veil, the cover. He's taken away everything. Now we have absolute access, absolute privilege to speak to Jesus anytime, anywhere. No ritual to go through, no elaborate cleansing, no outside the tent. We have the privilege, anytime you want it, to speak with God face to face. My goodness. So where's your tent? Where do you go? Where's your habit, your routine? You know, everybody in Israel knew that that's what Moses did, and they'd watch it. Oh, here we go. Do people in your world know? Oh, here he goes. Oops, it's morning. There goes Dad. There goes Mom. You've got to find a place of communion. It's going to help you go the distance. It's going to help you stand tall. Where is it? It has to be a place and a time. Find a place. Find a regular place. It doesn't always mean that you have to pray that time, but it just, we live in such a regular world. You know, we work, we sleep, and we eat, and we do this with our families and whatever. You need to build into your routine a space for Jesus. And it usually has a time factor with it as well. Build that in and just make it your ritual. Now, it doesn't mean that absolutely every day it's always going to work for you. Don't beat yourself up if it doesn't. You slept in or you forgot. But it's just, what's the usual pattern, you know? What's the regular, the consistent thing that you find yourself, the place, where is that? And it might change over time. Might be a chair there and now it's outside because it's summer and not winter. What is it for you? For me, it's in my lounge room at 5 o'clock in the morning. No one else is up. Thank Jesus. And it's me and God. I love that space. And I set my alarm and I put it on the other side of the room so I have to get up. And that, by the time I've come to, you know, is my space at the moment with Jesus. Sometimes it's a walk up a mountain. But I covet that time. It's rich. I sit with Jesus, just read some things, Psalms. And I was like, this is my tent. Find it. You've got to find it. It will help you go the distance. Last thing. Moses found courage from godly friends. This is the last thing that he found was he needed people around him. There's Joshua in the tent, but there's a great story here of his friends when they are facing a battle. And Moses and his people are often facing battles, you know, with other tribes, other nations. And in Exodus 17, they're fighting a nation called Amalek. And Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go to fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up the top of the hill. What is that about? So he takes his staff, he tells Joshua, his commander, okay, go. God said go and fight, so go. While you're fighting, I'm going to go and pray for you. I'm going to go up top of the hill and hold out my staff. And I've got two friends with me. In verse 11, it says that whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. Like the army was winning when Moses held up his hands in prayer, like literally holding up his hands, both hands. But Moses' hands grew weary. And so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on another side. Isn't this a beautiful picture? His best mates, one on one side, one on the other, holding up his hands so that the battle would go on, so that his prayers would go on. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Courage comes from good friends. Courage comes from godly people who can stand with you and hold up your hands and bear the weight for you whatever you're going through, you need people around you. That's why life groups are so important. That's why just prayer. Just find some people. Find some good mates. Who is it that you lean on when it's all going south? Feels like the enemy's having... Who do you come? Please come and stand with me. Please come and be with me right now. I need some help. Who's that for you? If you don't have it, you need to find it. If you don't have that sense of just, hey, I need help. Hey, a quick text. Who is that person? A couple of people, two or three. It doesn't need to be an army. Two or three people who you know you can ring. Come and hold up my hands in prayer. You can stand tall with godly people around you who are going to go the distance. I'm going to grab the musos on stage. We're going to just shift gears a little bit. But I want you to just think through for a moment. What do you need to stick at right now? What call of God, what's on your heart? It doesn't have to be, you know, I need to go to China as a missionary, you know. I need to start a church. Is it just this week at work? I gotta just keep being faithful. Is it a difficult patch with one of your kids or your mom or your dad or your sister or your brother? I just need to stick at this relationship. What is it that you need right now to stand tall in? Parts of your world is part of your call, part of your world, your environment that you know you have to stay and go the distance. You can't check out. It's not about trying harder. I always think, no, just try harder. It doesn't work. Moses tried, failed quickly. It's not about trying. It's about picking the timing. In God's sense, it's about doing it with friends. It's about having that courage, even in the imperfection of your world, knowing this is not going to affect the outcome. Just because I can't or I'm not very good at this, it doesn't matter. You need the power of God to help you. Because when He moves, everything shifts. When it's His time, Red Seas open. When it's His opportunity, things fall into place. But it's likely to be slower than the timeline that you and I have for God. Just wait. Can I get the communion just circulating? Just as in this atmosphere, we're going to take communion. Because I want you to know that it's with Jesus that this happens. And communion is a wonderful expression of God being with us. That's the message of the cross of Jesus. He's forgiven us. He's made a way for us. And He empowers us. And in communion, it's like it all wraps up together. It's this statement that God, through the cross of Jesus, has died for us, has forgiven our sins, but also given us great victory. It's not just about the death of Jesus. It's about the resurrection of Jesus and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to go the distance, to stand with courage and conviction. Just when you get that, just hang on to that. We're going to have that together. But just think right now. What would you like to take before the Lord this morning? What dream, what desires are you holding on to, like Moses? What circumstances do you feel like is on your heart, but you've got to wait for these things to fall into place before it'll actually happen? I want you this morning to take those to the Lord and to receive His affirmation on that, and to receive His courage to wait and to wait well. So Lord Jesus, come. Stir us. Remind us of those dreams and the things that you've put in our heart. Remind us of the promises and the things from God. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we're asking for your anointing and your blessing on the call of God for our lives. Holy Spirit, come and breathe fresh desire and fresh life on us. Holy Spirit, continue to fulfill God's call. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I want you to sense His love for you. That there is no condemnation for those in Christ. If you feel like I'm not good enough, I'm not able, I'm not worthy, you're spot on. You're not. I want you to grab the bread. This bread stands for forgiveness. His body broken for us. As you eat this, be reminded of His forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness. Grab a hold of the cup. It represents Jesus' blood. It's new life. The blood is the life source of something. It's the life source of Jesus that we're drinking in. And we're drinking in His life, His energy, His passion, His holiness, His abilities. We lay down our lives in brokenness. God comes and He builds us in His strength. Take this and drink in new life today. And just to finish with Joshua, Moses' apprentice, was the one who took on. He'd witnessed it all. He'd seen Moses. He'd seen the journey. And the baton is handed to Joshua. Joshua, he said, go. God said to Joshua, have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's my charge to you today. Just as God said to Joshua, I say to you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Whatever next week looks like, whatever's ahead for you, don't let your courage waver. Be strong. Be filled with faith. Be filled with confidence. And He says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go this week, whatever you're up to, whatever jobs you've got to do, whatever things to attend to, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Be strong. Fill with courage. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.